Now, broadcasting on Star Worldwide Networks, it's time for the Fashion Rewired broadcast with Brian Hill. During the Fashion Rewired podcast, we chat with successful fashion designers and business entrepreneurs who share their powerful stories of success while providing real-time industry tips, tools, and actionable strategies to execute today with the goal of designing our listeners' brands for success. Now, here's your host, Brian Hill.
Welcome to Fashion Rewired. I'm your host, Brian Hill, self-taught designer and executive director of Phoenix Fashion Week. So why is it important to rewire? Well, I believe that every successful fashion designer and entrepreneur at one time or another made the smart and necessary decision to rewire their brain, their attitude, but most importantly, their actions to get them to their current level of success. Each week, I get to share stories of transformation with our listeners while giving you the blueprint to rewire. I love to open each episode by thanking the sponsors that believe in Fashion Rewired. The Phoenix Fashion Week Freelance Program. While building Phoenix Fashion Week into an effective fashion industry resource, we have been asked time and time again to recommend the services of our teammates and associates. So the natural next step has been to organize a system and network of fashion professionals that we could vouch for in the marketplace. The Phoenix Fashion Week Freelance Program is open to anyone needing fashion design, hairstyling, sales representation, photography, graphic design, web design, marketing, social media, styling, makeup artists, accessory design, videography, modeling, PR, event planning, and consulting. For more information, please email freelance@phoenixfashionweek.com. My next guest hails from Australia by way of Nashville, Tennessee. He's a true Renaissance man. Rick Caballo is a co-founder and head of creative for award-winning agency Dead Horse Branding. Rick knows everything has been designed by someone, from the clothing we wear to the cars that we drive to even the pathways that we explore during our morning walks. Everything has a creator, and Rick's eye for balance, legibility, and feel crosses all mediums. Whether he is taking photographs, painting, building furniture, or writing a hit song, knowing where all the pieces fit is what makes Rick a great designer that has won many international design awards, including the Coffee Table Book for Elvis Straight to Jesus and Best Brand Identity Logo Award that he created for rock and roll icon Steven Tyler. Yes, Rick is a true Renaissance man for 2021 and beyond. Whoa, Rick, that is a ton.
Hey, man.
Of course we want to be president after saying all those things.
No, I don't want that job, trust me.
How in the heck did you do all these things?
I think coming from Australia, I mean, we've been in the US for a long time, but coming from Australia, it's a different mentality down here, and there's very little people here in Australia. We all live on the coast. There's about 25 million people in a country three quarters the size of the US. So we have to wear a lot of hats. And it's no biggie to go and just do three or four things and be good at it, you know.
Gotcha.
It's normal. Whereas in the US, it's you know, I remember getting my bathroom tiled. I had four guys come in to tile our bathroom. I'm like, dude, one person can do this, you know. So yeah, I think we wear them hats due to the geography of you know, where we live and the spread outness of each person. But I've been going for a long time as a young kid, you know. If I see something, I do it, and that's the best way to learn, you know.
Sure. How about a fun fashion fact about Rick Caballo?
Okay, well, I was a little fat kid growing up, and I could never, you know, I'd be always conscious about myself and couldn't find the right clothes. So fashion wasn't a thing for me until I started playing music. You know, fashion and music go together, sure, as you know. So, yeah, I started creating stuff for my band and that, and, you know, started getting, you know, I'd join a band to get the girls, obviously, at the start. But yeah, I know fashion, I mean, you either have style or you don't. Mm-hmm. And for me, it took a while to find my style. And some people have it straight away, or some people it takes time. But everyone's got some sort of style, whether it's good or bad. It's still a style.
Right.
So yeah, so I like just got to find it, yeah, and go for it.
I like that. So going back to explaining how Australians work as far as being able to do three or four different things successfully, like, I love that. That is the beginnings of an early entrepreneur, for a fact. And then your style being, you know, it took a while to find it. And then obviously you play rock and roll. And so at that point, the girls came calling. So I like that approach. But tell me, what drives Rick Caballa today, do you think?
A lot of different things. I mean, I'm like a pressure cooker. If I don't create anything, whether it's designing motorcycles, fashion, merchandise, or even business strategies, I'm going to explode. Mm-hmm. And so I just got to do that. So what drives me today is being able to be creative in what I love doing, for one. Right now it's motorcycles. Okay. And two, helping other people, you know, that just that have an idea or have a concept they want to take, whether it's a fashion line or music or whatever, uh-huh. and they just don't have all those pieces. So we step in and we can help them achieve their goals. And some brands aren't, they're not great or whatever, but still you can't be the one to not justify that, to be able to help someone achieve what they want to achieve, you know?
Yes.
Doesn't mean it's going to be a big success or, you know, selling across the world in the millions of numbers, but, you know, if they're making a living and doing great work, then, you know, that gets me off. I just love that.
Yeah, I love that because we have this digital boot camp that we put together for emerging designers. And I know for a fact that I love coaching. I love helping designers go in the direction of their dream, like you said. And it's open to anyone. If you're going to have a small brand or just sell to a small niche, whatever, I'm okay with that. And it sounds like you're the same exact way, because helping people get towards their dream or their big idea, it just really is fulfilling to me.
Yeah, not only that, it breeds creativity, you know? Like if someone's like, you know, got a headlock and they're stuck somewhere and you're like, well, just do this, do that, and bang, it opens up a whole different level. And you're responsible for that, and then it reciprocates, you know? You just create a community of helping each other and creating great work.
Right. Build community of I love that perspective. Okay, cool. So, I mean, now did you – obviously, you said maybe a little bit more of a plump kid in the beginning, but also when you went to your Rewire moment, I don't know if it was before you met Mel or after Mel, but I'd love to know when whatever you were doing in Australia wasn't working so great for you and you decided to go a different direction and you rewired. Tuck us to that point and tell us what happened.
Yeah, and I wouldn't say it wasn't going well. Like, I had a successful merchandise company here where I'd print T-shirts for a lot of the bands and merchandise for bands. I started as a sign painter, and then the business grew, and I was looking after a lot of acts. And then that allowed me to have a successful business to go to the U.S. and tour.
Gotcha.
So I would tour the U.S., go to Europe, tour back, and, you know, travel first class and do all this great stuff and come home with no money in my pocket. And then I met, along one of those journeys, I met Melissa, who is my business partner and also now my wife. Mm-hmm. She's just an amazing businesswoman and amazing person. She just gets it. She just gets it. And she saw what I was doing. She goes, oh, who's designing all your merchandise? Is that me? I love your music. What, you know, you're connected, but you should do this. Because I didn't know much about the music business, as in, just create great work, great sounds, go out there, do a great show, and you should be famous, right?
Sure.
But it's not about that. It takes a village and takes a lot of ass-kissing and a lot of different other things, strategic placements, and that's the same as the fashion business.
Mm-hmm.
So she pretty much reconfigured what I was doing and brought a business aspect to it. And my merchandise started selling in, like, normal stores and boutiques.
Wow.
Because she goes, it's so cool, like, it's not just an ugly head of someone's head with tour dates on the back. They're actually fashionable merchandise that you'd want to wear out in town, you know, into a nightclub or whatever.
Right.
So she saw that, and she built a business around. And then as if you listen to the other podcast with Melissa, is she would take the clothes of my back and sell it after a gig. Like, people would want to, oh, how do I get one of those jackets? How do I get a shirt? Oh, you can buy that one straight up. And I'm like, no more. Because, you know, she made me go out and wear, like, I wore the same jacket, the same shirt pretty much for 2 years everywhere. And that's part of her genius. You know, you got to really nail down that brand and that's a guy, that cool jacket, and they wear their cool stuff. And so I was sick of it, but she'd be selling, like, all the jewelry and that off our backs, and we'd go home to, you know, 4 a.m. making jewelry and, you know, merchandise. So she is just an amazing change in my direction for me. And then once things were rolling for us, we had another rewire moment where our good friend Lou Hayden from Wales Management, Business Management, he pulled us aside in his house in Atlanta for a month. He locked us down. We were just doing strategic planning. Mm-hmm. And it was through that we worked out, wow, there's a lot more to it than just a clever brand and clever marketing. The semantics that you got to go right down to like little bits of crumbs and then put them back together. And it was an amazing time for us to learn the real reality of business.
Right, right. So it sounds like in the beginning you were already creating, you had some success, like you said, but at least you recognized that there was not much money in the bank after doing these tours. And that didn't make probably the most sense in the world, but because you were still creating, it still felt good and you're making great music. But it seems like you recognize, and also Melissa, Mel, recognize your true talents already, right? And then put a plan around to monetize those things. And then maybe step two is when you went to that lockdown in Atlanta and built a strategic plan. What do you think was step three, Rick, when you guys now have the strategic plan for Dead Horse and also for your clothing line? What was the next step that really turned up the notches for you guys successfully?
Well, I mean, obviously implementation of the plan, like, you know,
yes.
A lot of people, this is a problem with, and this is with everyone, it's like when you have a product, you just want to sell, and you don't care who you sell it to as long as you sell it to. But it's important, like, let's say you're a great salesman, you convince a boutique owner that owns 10 boutiques, 10 stores across the US, and you convince him to take your stuff on. Mm-hmm. Now, he's not a great salesperson like you, and your product needs to jump off the shelf and sell itself. So if it's sitting on the shelf in those boutiques, it's not selling. And then what he's going to do is either going to give it away to his mates or he's going to, you know, discount it, and that's not good for your brand. So it's very you got to be very careful on where you sell it to, you know, the demographics and all that.
Right.
So the rewire moment is following the map. So the strategic plan is the map.
Yep.
You can't hang words of numbers. You have to hang numbers off the words.
Right.
So by that I mean, what is the objective? Let's say the objective is to drive from California to New York. Okay.
Yep.
So that's the objective, right? That's the words.
Mm-hmm.
The numbers is, what's it cost? Okay, so we know it's going to cost, let's say, $200 in gas. We're going to stop halfway at a restaurant to eat. We're going to stop at a hotel. What's the total cost? Let's say it's $500.
Mm-hmm.
So that's it. That's the cost of it, for example.
Yep.
Allow a bit of buffer if you go the wrong way. You know, you need a bit more petrol. So that's what it means. But then no one goes, well, I've got $100. Let's just see where we go.
That's no good.
No, because the objective needs to drive the cost.
Right, right. So actual execution of that trip, actual execution of Dead Horse branding seems to be like super important, right? So you've got this grandiose plan, and without putting rubber to road, so to speak, it's still not going to get done.
Exactly, exactly. And making sure your plan is correct too. So, you know, and this is not my side of the business. I'm just lucky that I've got a little bit of a business side. I'm full creative,
sure.
Some business, and Mel is full business with a lot of creative too. So we cross over, and that's where the interesting stuff happens. You know, a little bit of push and pull, and sometimes ends up in fights and stuff. You know, 'cause they're passionate.
Yeah.
So you just got to make sure you're on the right path, and people don't know what they don't know. You know what I mean?
Right, right. The naivety sometimes is a good thing. They plow through. A great team is super important. And obviously, when I talk to Mel, you guys are a great fit. And like you said, is it always rosy? No, but that push and pull is where real magic happens.
Yeah, and I have to say this about Melissa. She was right from the start with her direction, her plan. We've had some investors. Well, not some investors, one investor come along and helped us out at the very start of days, very successful person. So sometimes you want to take the lead from that successful person because they've done it before, but it's not always correct because they just, you know, what we worked out is they got lucky on one product.
Sure.
And then, you know, if you've got a great product, then it sells itself. You don't have to worry about it. You just keep plugging the numbers and keep going. But it's building the brand and getting all that down when you start from scratch. That's where you have to be really clever.
Right,
Melissa
right.
had that down from the start, and she should have followed her gut instead of taking directions from other people or spoken up because you're getting an investor involved. You know, you got to be thankful for them believing in you, But at the same time, they could be hindering your growth because their knowledge is not enough.
Right. I love that. I love that. And going back to having this this roadmap, going back to your analogy, you know, I was going to ask you, how do you know if your roadmap is right, Rick, before you start driving?
Well, I mean, you got to really sit down and work it out. There's a million pieces out there. I'll give you another analogy and make it more confusing. Let's say everyone's brand is like a box of jigsaw puzzles, right?
Yep.
And you shake up that box. Every one of those pieces is spot on, right? They're all correct. They all link up to something for the big picture, right?
Yep.
But it's only when that big picture is put together in the right sequence. Now, what happens is everyone thinks, oh, I've got the pieces, but they don't have them together. And a lot of those pieces are blank as well.
Yes.
So we have to come in and either paint in those pieces or they eventually work it out themselves. But you just got to start. Like with a puzzle, you start in the corner, you start adding this, and you just got to, you'll find it. That once you do the strategic plan, the strategic plan is actually putting that jigsaw puzzle together.
Yes.
Once you see that big picture, then you can, you know, hang it on your wall.
Yes.
But until then, you just know, like, numbers don't lie. So if you think you can, like, we're naive when we started out too. We're making $10,000 orders, you know, we only have to do three a week and we're good. It's like, no, then $10,000 orders don't come along like that. And then what happens is, let's say they do, it's like, okay, we're going to have to put another employee on. So that's going to be another $40,000, $50,000 a year. So that means you're going to have to find another $150,000 worth of sales, for example.
Yep.
And then it's like, oh, we got another person. We're going to have to buy another desk, another table. We're going to have to rent a bigger space. We're going to have to get more merchandise. We need a sales team. So it just you just got to be careful on how things scale, because we grew too fast, too quick, and we were just like on that hamster wheel trying to keep up.
Yes, yes. Oh, man, I like that second analogy, the jigsaw puzzle. And like you said, painting the blank pieces. I haven't heard that before. I like how you said that. And so it seems to me in Dead Horse Branding that you and Mel and your team have gotten really good at taking those puzzle pieces for other people and then painting those pieces when you need to paint them, or also organizing them and putting that thing on the wall. How does that feel to do it multiple times, from Duck Dynasty to the coffee table book to Steven Tyler?
It feels great. I mean, I get so much satisfaction out of it. We're working with a company right now. I know Mel mentioned it, Frayed Needle. He's a guy that's just doing cool stuff and, you know, reinventing original brands and messing them up and putting them back together. But he just didn't have the business side or know what to do there. He had a good product. And just for him to get on the phone and go, okay, what do I do next? And go, you got to do this, do this, do this. And for him to come back, they just did a photo shoot yesterday, and they did a phenomenal job. And I'm so proud of the fact that he followed direction. And there's no waste. There's no mistakes. There's no going down the wrong turn. It's like straight to the point, and it's quicker. You're not wasting time. And then not only when you start wasting time and money, you start getting disheartened. And
sure.
Your mojo dies, you know. So I love that part that we can do that. And you know, it's just something that we like doing right now, especially with the consulting, because it's not hard for us. We can just get on the phone and you go, yeah, you got to do step one, step two, step three.
Good.
And you're good to go.
I love that. You guys have become really efficient and creative, and it keeps your pressure cooker satisfied, it sounds like, as well. And that's got to be a ton of fun, and also, like you said, satisfying, you know? So when you talk about the action steps that you guys did, right, from monetizing what Rick could create, right, with Mel, and then being in Atlanta and locking yourself down and coming up with your strategic plan, which is your puzzle pieces, and then just going out and putting those pieces together and painting when you need to paint, execution, some natural habits, I'm sure, came out of those actions, right, from Atlanta to Australia to Nashville. Talk about some natural habits that you still live by today, Rick, that help you guys to still continue to grow.
Well, Nashville habits, I don't know about Nashville habits, but I think just habits just in general from, like you said, Australia, Atlanta, Nashville. One thing I learned from Melissa is that as a designer, I'm full creative, that I design these days based on a business side of my brain, not the creative side. And what I mean by that is, like, when a designer goes and designs something, let's say it's a great dress or a great jacket, it's like, okay, who's going to buy it? So who's the demographic? Will that demographic buy it? Because what happens is in our circles, like, we hang around people that we like, that are like us,
yes,
our family. So you're getting a biased opinion from the product. So they go, oh, I could sell 100 of these because everyone loves it. It's like, yeah, all your friends do. So who is going to buy it? So the demographic, who's going to buy it? Is it on budget? So you got to look at the piece and go, well, you know, I just did the numbers on that. It's going to be $1,000. I can only sell it for $300. So how do I cut cost? Is it, you know, how do I change the design to where it doesn't compromise its artistic integrity?
Right.
Does it need the extra hemline? Do I need to put an extra label on that side? Do I have to do a double stitch here? And then you start pulling down that design and go, okay, this is where it stops. If I do anything more to it to streamline it, it's going to look like crap. It's not going to look what it's cool and what it's meant to be. So that's another thing I learned. And then scaling the design, just because you can do it. And, you know, we had very great success with these Desert Rock jackets that we did. This twill cotton, and everyone thought they're leather. And they go, I want that leather jacket. I'm going, what the hell are you talking about? We're not doing leather at the moment. And they were talking about this denim cotton twill jacket. And it's because I distressed it, I bleached it, I ripped it, I airbrushed it. It had this cool look, this texture that no one had ever seen before. So we tried to replicate that. And it was so hard because they don't have my eye and direction. And after, you know, it's like Chinese whispers. You tell someone a secret, they tell someone else, and it just gets watered down. And that's where you got to be careful. When you do your designs, make sure that you can scale them without costing you too much time and effort.
Oh, man, that's two big habits. Creating from the business side of your brain. Like, I haven't heard that before. What people typically say is, oh, he's creative, so you got to let him do his thing. But what you figure out is you've been even more flexible with saying, I now can design from the business side of my brain. And then on top of that, being able to scale your designs so it makes sense. Maybe in the beginning, like you said, and then reducing things down to the point where it's not even what your creation was even meant to be, that's a no-go. And Melissa talked about that as well. She's like, Rick's not going to do that. He might go down a couple, but at the end of the day, the jacket's not the jacket that I want anymore if I've done all those things to it, you know, to keep it in.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. There's a lot of compromise too, because like I'm happy to spend the extra 50 cents to make it look like an extra $500.
Right.
But then when you start, you know, pulling down the numbers, you know, is it going to hinder your business? You know, are you going to close doors because of this 50 cent label?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So sometimes you got to compromise. But it's super important.
So you've got these amazing action steps and you've got these great habits now. And I want to try and lock you down to, you've all won all these awards, but maybe for you, tell me, what are one or two big accomplishments that you can really tie to being able to create with the business side of your brain and scaling your designs? What are two big accomplishments where those things came into play?
Well, I would say, I don't know, Melissa said the same thing, the book. So this coffee table book we did for Tony Brown, he used to play for Elvis Presley, he's probably one of the biggest producers in the world, country music producers, you know, Lionel Richie, Billy Joel, Barbara Streisand, Reba, you know, the list goes on. So we manage him anyway, so we're like family, and for us to be able to compile his life story of amazingness, to me, it's a massive accomplishment. For, you know, to be able to co-write, do the photography, do the art direction, do the graphic design. Melissa goes on and gets it published. You know,
yeah.
So for us to do that, that was a massive accomplishment, and not only a massive accomplishment, it just felt good to do it, and it felt good for our client, who is our dear friend and family now, to have that book to show. Wow, this is my life. You know,
that's super
cool.
So
that was scaling the business. I don't know. I mean, design wise these days, the way I scale now is I get to touch and be active across a lot of brands. Like, I'm not just designing for myself. We just had a baby girl 10 months ago, and there's no time these days. So if I can touch, like if I can work with a frayed needle and go, okay, that needs to be red, that needs to be blue, change that, and they go off and do it, spend the hours doing it. To me, that's sort of almost scaling as well, where I'm just delegating jobs, and it doesn't have to be in my own project. It could be on anyone's project.
Right. Well, you know, there's a phrase here. You might have read this somewhere, but after you put in about 10,000 hours into whatever you do, from music to branding to cut and sew, you became like this next level expert, right? And it seems to me that you guys are putting the 10,000 hours, obviously, because you're able to give clear direction over the phone, maybe over Skype, whatever, but then people like Frayed Needle follow it, right? Because you've got a body of work that's been successful, so that builds confidence, I'm sure, that when you give the direction, they like they run with it. But for you, you're able to touch more people, more brands across the board, even with a 10-month-old, which with no sleep, right?
But, exactly.
But, yeah, no I mean, sleep. That's cool what you've accomplished there.
Yeah, I mean, and then you get your great clients that they listen, you know, and or if they question, we say, well, this is why.
Yes.
They go, oh, I don't think that's right. It's like, well, this is why. Numbers don't lie. This is why if we go in this direction, this is going to happen. But then you get, sometimes you get your clients go, oh, I don't think that's the right thing. And then they go the other way. And then you have to go, remember 2 months ago when we said you have to do that? And you go, yeah, I'm sorry. So we can back it up. And not that we know everything, because no one knows everything, but we've done all this before. Like you said, we've put 10,000 hours in probably in the first week,
yes,
which is impossible. But,
yeah,
you know, you're working 18-hour days. You live and breathe it. And, you know, it comes easily because we've been there. We've witnessed heartache and we've witnessed accomplishments that are just amazing.
Right.
You know.
Right. Man, I don't know how you did this, but somehow we made it to the halfway point of the podcast already. So I'm going to take you into what we'd like to call the Garmin District after we thank our sponsors. Are you ready for that?
Let's do it.
All right, hang on. Fact, each season, Phoenix Fashion Week turns away hundreds of emerging fashion designers that apply for the Live Designer Bootcamp. This year, we created the six-week-long Digital Designer Bootcamp, where emerging fashion talent from around the world and from the comfort of their own home via mobile, laptop, or desktop will follow a structured curriculum online focused on the very important business side of their fashion brands. In a short 6 weeks, the fashion experts will teach, transform, and lay out the blueprint to build and run a successful fashion brand for 2021 and beyond. To apply, email digital@phoenixfashionweek.com. And we're back, Fashion Rewired, the podcast. I'm Brian Hill. I'm on with Rick Caballo all the way down in Australia. He is the co-creator and founder of Dead Horse Branding, working with all kinds of big names from Steven Tyler to Frayed Needle, Tony Brown. He's just done so many different things. He's dropping nuggets of information for us that we can apply to our brands right now. Okay, Rick, so I'm going to take you to the Garment District, which talks about, are you a retail play or a wholesale play? Retail meaning you are a direct-to-consumer brand, you Rick Caballo or Dead Horse, or are you big box, distributor, wholesale? What do you think you are and why?
Oh, God. What did Melissa say? I think we're both. I think we're a little bit of, well,
she said,
a lot more.
She said a little bit of both.
She said that too, did she?
Yes.
Yeah. So, I'd say a little bit of both. I mean, and it depends on who we're working with too, you know. We have been in the big box arena before, and that's no problem. But we do love being in the boutique level as well, because it's honesty and it's real hunger that drives these people to build their brands.
Sure.
And their life depends on it, you know. Big companies like Gucci and all that, they can afford to lose $1 million. It's not a problem. But a lot of the small brands, they can't afford to lose $1,000 or $5,000 or $10,000, you know.
Right.
So it's important to us to stay down that level. But we can go up in the top level too. We've had products out and on big box stores as well.
I love it. So when you're talking about direct to consumer, and you work with these individuals, sometimes it's an artist, right, that you're working with. Sometimes it's a clothing line you're working with, Frayed Needle, Duck Dynasty, etc. Tell me about probably the most successful sales platform that brings you guys business at Dead Horse. Is it word of mouth? Is it reputation? What do you think the number one sales platform that really drives conversions to Dead Horse Branding?
I would say it's word of mouth and reputation. I mean, we're obviously, social media is important too, but you know, if our work is speaks for itself, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We've had a lot of success with people, and that's enough to work to sell yourself, and we like our clients, you know. So they will go and spread the word themselves. We've had clients that were supposed to be on for like a month to 3 months. They're here like 5 years later. So, I mean, our goal is to, like, when we started out, there was companies that was charging $10,000 a month to hold your hand and tell you what to do. we couldn't afford that, so we had to do it ourselves. And we're flexible at helping other people. It's like, well, I've only got X amount of dollars. So it's like, okay, well, we can do this, this, this for you and hold your hand to the point where they could be the next Diesel or G-Star, for example.
Mm-hmm.
So why not nurture that relationship and build them up? Because the chances are they're going to be happy and respect what you did and stick with you.
Sure.
So that's our biggest way we like to approach working with people is whatever they've got. Just because someone's got $1,000 a month, it's not much, but it's like, well, I can consult for you for half an hour or whatever it is.
Yeah, but it helps.
As long as you can – yeah, it helps. It helps gets to – and these podcasts that you're doing, they help tremendously. You're talking saving tens and tens of thousands of dollars just by listening to these podcasts.
Right.
So it's super important.
Thank you for that. And so you're a new brand, let's say, and you just said your number one sales platform is word of mouth and reputation. How does a young brand who doesn't have the word of mouth yet or the reputation, what do they do? How do they do it?
Well, I mean, this is where Melissa is amazing, but I mean, you got to build credibility. There's a lot of, we get a lot of brands that are semi-established and they come, we want publicity. It's like, well, you're not ready yet.
Mm-hmm.
You haven't even got your foundation set. You know, we can go and push what you've got out to the public and get some eyes on you. But when the eyes get on you, are you ready to go? Do you have stock? Do you have a good staff implemented? Do you have the juice to follow up on your next designs?
Mm-hmm.
So what we do is, okay, before we go into PR or go that step forward, let's take a step back and get your foundation set
mm-hmm.
and solid. So create brand recognition. By, like Melissa said, give your stuff to, don't give it to stylists so celebrities can wear. You snap that photo and you compile that and you spread the word out that way. You do great work. You partner up with other celebrities and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
This
mm-hmm.
is more Melissa's side, but social media is obviously important.
Right.
But like everyone thinks someone like, George Clooney's wearing my t-shirt and all of a sudden I'm going to be selling a million t-shirts. Like, that doesn't work like that because George Clooney isn't actually saying, here's my t-shirt,
right.
Go buy it. So it's up to you to take that publicity and then run with it. But it's not going to have as much weight as if George Clooney said, hey, buy this t-shirt.
Right. So building credibility, people can do that one client at a time. Even though the younger people in the world want it tomorrow because they've seen other people quote unquote make it overnight, you and I both know it never happens overnight. But if you build credibility and you're patient and, like you said, deliver and over deliver, that just builds on itself. And pretty soon you look up and you do have word of mouth and reputation, right?
Exactly. Yeah, yeah, it's exactly right. And if it does look like an overnight success, there's probably some other village attached to it. Or if they were lucky to get through, that's fine. Sometimes that does happen, you know. But then they're lucky to, they'll burn out straight away because they haven't got enough foundation set.
Right. I love the foundation part. Build foundation. I'm writing that down. Build foundation. And so you talked a little bit about social media. Obviously, it's not going anywhere anytime soon. But when you talk about social media, is that the driver for Dead Horse Branding? If so, which platform and why?
No, I wouldn't say it's the driver. And I'll tell you why. And I think Melissa said this as well. Does anyone remember MySpace?
Robin does.
So what happened was everyone invested all their brand into MySpace, and then boom, they flipped the switch and it's gone.
Yes.
So that's why we tell all our clients it's important to have a website. You control it.
Uh-huh.
It's your intellectual property. You drive it. You send people from your website to social media and social media back to your website. Because what happens is Instagram, well, we saw with TikTok, Trump wanted to shut it down and that could have been gone overnight.
Sure.
Zuckerberg could be shut down tomorrow at Facebook and Instagram. So you need to control your own destiny. And that means sending out blogs from your own website.
Yep.
It creates great SEO. And Google keeps seeing these things come from Dead Horse Branding, for example. Go, oh, who is this? Dead Horse Branding, Dead Horse Branding, Dead Horse Branding. And it just lifts you up in the search engines. So everyone's actively playing on social media right now, but eventually that may change. It might go to a different platform. Mm-hmm. We don't know. But what I do know is that if you own your own own website and domain that you're better off.
I love that. And we don't get that answer too much, honestly. Most of my guests are always talking social media, but you're right. Any given time, it could be gone. And obviously, you and I both know that in this case, Zuckerberg and those guys, you don't even own your own social media. They charge you to even reach your audience, right? You have 1,000 followers. They charge you when you do a post. Otherwise, 4% of the people are going to see it. And that's doing you no good. But the website, 100% of the people that go to the website are 100% going to see what you have to offer, read your newsletter, and read your blog, right?
Yes. I mean, you do have to get them out there. Like, think of it as a ship on the ocean. You still need to get people out there to the ship, but you can do that via social media. And then at times too, social media could be redirecting your followers somewhere else, and you're not even getting the eyes that you think you're getting. So it's super important. Have your own website.
Yeah. So social media, we got to get a handle on that. But maybe you could share with us a website that inspires you, or personality, someone you follow, you read about, whatever. Who inspires Rick Caballo?
I mean, everyday people inspire me. I steal from everybody. Everybody I meet. I'm more a visual person. Like, I've got a photographic memory with faces, and we'll go out to somewhere, to an event, and I'll know the guy from 10 years ago when I met him. And Melissa, bless her heart, she'll introduce herself twice at the same event going, "Yeah, I just met you like 20 minutes ago." But everyone, like, I love people like Gary Vee, like Melissa said. You know, he's straight to the point. He's a little crass at times, but that works, and I love that. I love what Naomi Campbell is doing. You know,
yes.
She's bringing the fashion to Africa and the countries in Africa that don't have the chance to be able to be recognized for their talents. And, you know, she's doing a lot of humanitarian work in that area too. So we respect that. My biggest influence would be Troy Lee Designs. He's a motocross. He started out like I did as a sign painter. Uh-huh. And he's got a multi-gazillion dollar business based on motorcycle apparel, mountain biking apparel, BMX apparel, helmets, cool gear, great graphics, great quality products. And I just love that. So
tell me his name again.
Troy Lee Designs.
Got it. Okay.
And they're just great. I've followed him all my life. They're celebrating their 40-year anniversary. And here's the reason why I started painting helmets when I was a kid, and then eventually moved into merchandise and what I'm doing now. And I still mountain bike ride, and I wear their gear, and I love it, you know. And the same as, like, I like a lot of corporate brands as well, like I'll say corporate and commercial, Diesel and G-Star as well. Like, I love G-Star's packaging and fit out, you know. The denim's cool too, but more so the brand fit out and the messaging behind it, you know?
Right.
I get influence from all over the place. It could be car companies, it could be, you know, fashion companies. It doesn't matter. It's all the same to me. Design is design.
It is. And that's what we talked about, you being that Renaissance man. You go across so many different mediums to do the things you get done. It's really impressive, Rick. Okay, so now people go hang out on your website at Dead Horse Branding, right? And they heard about you, your reputation, et cetera. Maybe this is your side of the biz, might be Melissa's, but can you talk about some tools that you guys use to collect payment, to convert sales? You know, is it WordPress on the website? What are you guys using behind the scenes?
It depends. Like, for our website, it's just a Wix website. It's nothing flash, but Wix is getting so good. We do use WordPress for certain e-commerce stores and sort of that, Shopify, obviously. But yeah, I think it's the old school way with Melissa, like collecting payment and that. She's very active in that now, and our accounting team. So our account teams reach out and, you know,
yep.
we set the contracts and agreements are pretty set on how things roll out. And I mean, that's more Melissa's side.
Yeah.
It's pretty. But yeah, I'm on the creative in that respect.
Hey, you know what? Wix, WordPress, Shopify, it all works. Any time with a 10-month-old and all these brands, you manage to read any books, listen to any other podcasts or magazines that you could recommend too?
I'm not a huge book person. I haven't. I mean, I do recommend reading GD USA. graphic design magazine for the designers out there, which is great. And they've graciously put me in there a couple times, which is good. But I have read, I did read Keith Richards' life book from the Rolling Stones. That was an amazing book. That's the only book I've read. Oh, actually, no, that's not true. Get Carter is another book that I love. And it's about Bill Carter, who is security of the Secret Service of JF Kennedy and ended up being the Rolling Stones manager, who we've met and he's become a friend of ours. He has got an amazing story to tell, and you've got to read it. Get Carter.
Get Carter. Okay, there it is.
And I think Stallone's got a movie called Get Carter as well. I don't know if it's about Bill, but
I remember that. I remember that, Get Carter. Yeah, yeah. I was wondering if that's the same one. So I'm going to take you back to a younger Rick. Before you were touring, maybe back when you were painting helmets, what advice would you give young Rick Caballo to get you to your current level of success in 2021, but much, much faster? What would that advice be?
Don't wait. Just keep going. We get a lot of people that come from university or whatever, and they go, oh, I'm going to wait till I do that course. Like, no, you've got the tools now. Go and do it.
Yep.
Everyone's got access to Adobe Suite. Go and do it. Like, I wish I had those tools when I was younger. Because you can't teach creativity.
Right.
You know?
Right.
You can't teach it. You can teach tricks, and you can put that trick with this trick and that trick with that trick. But once you run out of that sequence, that's it. You're done. Your creativity's gone. So I would say just go for it, and also get in with the right people. So let's say on a music level, managers, agents, that sort of stuff. And then in the fashion world, same. You want to go to your buyers, your people selling, you know, your sales reps, that sort of stuff. Getting with the right people that can help you get to the next level. It's not what you know, it's who you know, as they always say.
Right. I love that. That's great advice. So you're designing motorcycle helmets and you're painting motorcycles. You should probably hang out with a bunch of motorcycle riders and you know, motorcycle competition producers, right? Just be in that space. Some people don't want to come out from behind the computer. They don't want to come out from behind the microphone or whatever, and that's not going to do it if you're really doing this. So I come across people sometimes that say they want to do something in fashion, but I don't really think they really want to, because the steps and the execution that you're going to have to do to be successful, they really don't want to do it. They kind of want to do their own job still and do it their kind of way still, but yet they want to be on Project Runway.
Exactly. And entrepreneurs will work 100 hours a week working for themselves to avoid working 40 hours for someone else. So you really need to put the time and effort in and have that hunger, because you're just going to get knocked on your ass every time. And it's only when you start getting those good things happening to you is when you go, okay, I just flipped a switch and I'm in the next level now.
Yes.
You know, and you'll be there for a while, then you'll flip a switch again and go to the next level. So you really need to put the hard work in and you know, just be in the right places. Don't stay at home. Go out there, and if you're into fashion, then go to fashion shows. Go meet people, you know, wear your stuff, you know, and go, yeah, this is mine. Okay, well, where do you get it from? Here's my website. Go for it.
Right.
I'll hook you up on Instagram. So, yeah, there's a lot of things you can be doing.
I like that. Tell us why in 2021 do you feel that people should rewire, Rick?
Wow, that's a big one. Well, obviously, we've been through this, well, still going through this COVID problem, and it's showed us that, you know, do you really want to be working at a shitty job that you don't like? Right. If your passion is to do fashion, then go for it, you know? Do it. Rewire to where... That's always been, I always follow my heart. I don't care what I'm doing. I transitioned from painting helmets, fashion. Now I'm back into motorcycles, building motorcycles, designing, helping other brands with fashion. So just follow your heart and then just implement the map, the strategic plan to get there, and be consistent, be focused. A lot of people, and we did this too, their focus is not narrow enough.
Right.
You need to be narrow and focused. And once you hit that target, that's when you can start spreading out a little bit. Because you don't want to be doing a little bit here and a little bit there and a little bit there. And it's not good. And it doesn't look good either. Let's say you do on your own website, let's say you do shoes, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden, like, you got hundreds of shoes, and then all of a sudden on your website you got a jacket section. You click over the jacket section, you got two jackets. Click over the TV section, you've got four t-shirts. So it's like, it's a little whimsical. But if you've got hundreds of shoes in one category, stick there and stay there, and then build it from that right. section.
I love that. We talk about lane one. We say own lane one, this narrow lane. And if you have success in that narrow lane, you're going to be able to spread your wings down the road. But because you're creative, you want to do so much out of the gate. Like you said, the t-shirts, the jackets, helmets, everything. It's like, ugh. You got to kind of make your name to build that credibility, like you said earlier. Be consistent over time. And you got a shot to spread your wings to those other lanes. So I love narrow and be focused. That's excellent.
Yeah, and you've got to be consistent. I love that quote that says, a river doesn't cut through stone by its force, but it's by its persistence.
Right.
So over time, that river cuts through the stone. It's just water. So you just need to be focused and consistent. And you won't fail. You know, right. if you keep building and just slowly, step by step, you grow. And then once you're at that level, I'm just throwing analogies out left, right, and center here. But
Yeah, you are.
Let's say right now you're starting a little fire and you got a little bit of smoke happening, and then you put a little bit of kindling and you grow that fire. And then, okay, this fire now is raging now. Okay, it's easy to grab those coals and transplant them somewhere else.
Yes.
And that fire will burn quickly. And then all of a sudden you got two fires going, they're growing, 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 and eventually they cross over. And then you take the coals from that fire and you move it away and do the same thing. So it's super important, like you said, stay consistent, focused.
Are you sure you don't want to run for president?
No, you're not me. Man, I've got too much dirty laundry.
Right on. Hey, what are you excited about for 2021 at Dead Horse Branding?
We got a few new clients that have just started up, a few musicians. We're working, obviously, with Frayed Needle. So I'm excited about that and seeing where they go. We've got a few clients that are ready to jump in the next level in the music department to record label meetings and all that sort of stuff. So we've been developing them. That's exciting. But my most excitement is I'm starting a motorcycle brand. It's a Scrambler Cafe Racer brand.
Okay.
Very old school. Which I'm excited about. So we're going to be building motorcycles, but it's also going to be a fashion element to it. So it's going to be fashionable motorcycle wear. So if you think All Saints meets biker wear,
okay.
I think you're close in that vicinity.
Okay, cool. I love it. A motorcycle brand. Count me in for a shirt or jacket or two. And I know that you guys represent some amazing brands. We're all going to check out Frayed Needle. I think I saw Halston Dare is doing some things with you guys. So that's exciting.
She's amazing.
Yeah. So how can our listeners find you? I know we're going to go to the website, but how can they find Rick Caballo?
Well, I've got a website. I think I need to check it out and update it, but rickcaballo.com. Yeah, I mean, I'm active on the website because I manage it. So shoot us an email through the website. Cool. I just deleted Facebook. It just keeps coming back and back because the last 4 years I was just so consumed in politics. I said I got to get out of this, and I got rid of Facebook. But obviously our business has it, so I don't need to be on it. But yeah, come to our website, www.deadhorsebranding.com. Send us a message. We'd love to meet people and just, you know, collaborate on some creative stuff. I just love it.
That's awesome. As always, on Fashion Rewired, you can upload your free guest blueprint for Rick Caballo. You can follow his 1-2-3 action steps or just be inspired by what Rick's done in these years. Simply go to Instagram at Fashion Rewired. Send me a direct message. I'll send you a free blueprint of Rick Caballo. Rick, how was today for you?
Awesome. That was fun.
It was a good time, man. You have a lot to be proud of, and I can't wait to work with you guys again. As always, we're out.
Thank you for joining us for our weekly 30-minute podcast focused on the business of fashion. Fashion Rewired is all about the successful transformation of your mind, perspective, and daily approach to your fashion brand. Make sure you listen next week for the Fashion Rewired podcast with Brian Hill.